In 1997, Christ and Daniel met at Harvard University. Within 7 years, they'd won the IG Nobel Prize in psychology, 44 achievements that first make people laugh and then make them think. The experiment that won them such acclaim was the Invisible Gorilla. In the Invisible Gorilla experiment, and its many variations, subjects are asked to count how many times a group of basketball players pass the ball between each other. No matter how closely you count the passes, you're as high as 90% likely to not notice the gorilla slowly walking across the screen. Again and again, we think we experience and understand the world as it is, but our thoughts are beset by everyday illusions. We write laws, we take criminals to trial, we enforce medical practices for one kind of person versus another, all while thinking we'll be fair when we encounter people who are worthy, but simply different. But you can't be fair to people you never notice, not when they may as well be invisible. The Invisible Gorilla Test is the sort of test I can't help but watch and think I can now outsmart, like a magic trick. I can see where the magician switches the card. Surely, if a magician tries the same thing, I'll be one step ahead of them. Right. It's the typical fallacy of smart people. We think if we understand something, we have power over it. It's also the typical fallacy of well-intentioned people. We think if we choose awareness, we will be aware. But the truth is a lot more surprising. In a video still growing with millions of views, Daniel Simons explained the implications of the Invisible Gorilla research that won him the Nobel Prize, saying, "This is the intuition we have, that if something important or distinctive or unusual, like a person in a gorilla suit, walks into our field of view, that we'll notice it. About 90% of people think they will," end quote. And with that breakthrough conclusion came the other side of the coin. It's in part what makes humans so amazing. If we discover a limitation, we start asking how to overcome it. But to understand the solution, we need to turn to neurodivergent animal expert Temple Grandin. From the point of view of a cat and a dog, even a tiny little goldfish, if we're talking about swimming, they are your home's most brilliant mathematician, engineer, and rocket scientist. They are your home's resident telepath. They are your neighborhood's watchful protector. They are your family's most trusted elder advisor. And then there's you, the world's worst cat, the world's worst dog, the world's worst goldfish, etc., etc. Most of us are barely any good at being humans. We're outright terrible at being anything else, especially any other kind of human. Even our dogs are better at pretending to be a human than we are at pretending to be a dog. But then again, animals face obstacles that people overcome easily. That doesn't just include the obvious stuff, such as how to compose elite memes. It also includes the aspects of their existence they couldn't ignore if they tried. Not necessarily because a cat is incapable of understanding memes. It's just that what makes a cat feel good about being a cat has nothing to do with delivering the perfect meme at the perfect time. In her book Animals in Translation, Temple Grandin explained why neurodivergent people like her are more likely to quote-unquote see the same way as animals. But as has become standard for Temple, her explanations about animals opened up just as many hidden insights into humans. Topics that include how to see our own prejudice, and I don't just mean the R word, you know, redacted. I mean bias and prejudice against people who are trans, people who are intersex, people who are of color, people who are asexual, people who respect the superior quality of Haagen-Dazs over Ben and Jerry's ice cream. I mean, people who are in any way something other than what is perceived as the default. Fortunately, there's a solution. We just gotta hope it doesn't raise more questions than it answers. Not like that's never happened before. The breakthrough insight on how to see prejudice and why so many of us never see it at all occurs early in Temple Grandin's book, Animals in Translation, when she breaks down a separate book co-authored by Erin Mack and Irvin Rock called Inattentional Blindness. Temple writes, "People don't consciously see any object unless they are paying direct, focused attention to that object. That means that a human being walking through an alley won't see, much less be bothered by, sparkling puddles or shining spots on metal or jiggling chains. None of that stuff is there for them unless they're looking for it. Normal human beings are blind to anything they're not paying attention to." End quote. The exception, perhaps you can see where I'm going, is when the thing you're not paying attention to disrupts the thing to which you were paying attention. If you've never been checked by someone outside your circle of privilege, holy crap, do you live alone on the moon? That kind of disruption can't help but feel, well, disrupted, even if you know it's coming, even if you want it to come. Some people work past that frustration only to feel ashamed that they missed something so important, something they gave their entire heart toward helping. But missing what's right in front of you doesn't make you a bad person. Cats miss stuff right in front of them too. Missing things right in front of you just means you suffer from the same imperfection everyone suffers from, inattentional blindness. While a few things seem to grab people's attention, such as the sight or sound of their own name or perfectly formed memes, other things easily escape our attention simply by not serving as an extension of our interests or priorities and what we expect to see. Temple Grandin writes, "The research on inattentional blindness was shocking because psychologists had always thought there were all kinds of things in the visual world that automatically grabbed people's attention, like an airplane blocking a runway. But it turns out that's not true," end quote. When Temple refers to an airplane blocking a runway, she's referring to yet another test demonstrating inattentional blindness. In the test, trained pilots performed a perfect landing, with one big error. They missed the airplane sitting in the middle of their runway. Guess how many landed right on top of the plane? No, don't worry, it was a virtual simulation, unlike that time Vsauce put people inside a literal Truman Show trolley problem and asked them to choose whether to let a train kill one versus several people. But hey, what worked for the good place? Temple goes on to write, "For a normal human being, almost nothing in the environment pops. That means it's practically impossible for a human being to actually see something brand new in the first place. People probably don't like novelty any more than animals do, but people don't get exposed to much novelty because they don't notice it when it's there. Humans are built to see what they're expecting to see, and it's hard to expect to see something you've never seen. New things just don't register," end quote. But here's the most disturbing finding of the research on inattentional blindness. A follow-up inattentional blindness study incorporated eye tracking, and the results were disheartening to say the least. Listen, I'm trans, so it's more than a little unsettling to learn that even when it comes to other trans people, I'm gonna have blind spots. Eye tracking should have revealed that subjects don't remember seeing their gorilla because they literally never registered its existence, but that's not what happened. Anywhere between 70% to 90% of people don't see the gorilla, or at least they don't remember seeing it. But the experiment showed that the people who didn't see it actually looked at it for a second. Looking, unfortunately, isn't the same as seeing. And I'm sorry to say that there's an even bigger problem. The bigger problem is that knowing what to look for isn't enough. Not even knowing what to spot in a particular situation inoculates us against that same inattentional blindness showing up in similar settings again and again and again. In a video discussing the implications of his research, Daniel Simon says, "We know when we've noticed something unexpected, but we are not aware of the times when we have missed something unexpected. The failure to notice people in gorilla suits is really a natural byproduct of something that we do quite well, and that is very important to us, which is focusing our attention. We need to be able to filter out the distractions from our world and not let them interfere with our ability to do the task of trying to do. The key is that when you are focusing your attention on one aspect of your world, you do not have an unlimited amount of attention to devote to other things. And we only see those things that we focus our attention on. The problem is that on occasion, we filter something that we might want to notice, and we do not realize that we are doing that. That sort of mismatch between what we see and what we think we see is a really profound one that has all sorts of complications for our daily lives," end quote. Most of us, certainly I'm one of them, hear that something like 70% or 90% of people are affected by this kind of bias, and then assume we must be in the 10% who would pass the test. Daniel Simons calls these people noticers versus missers, and unfortunately his research reveals that there's no such thing as a noticer versus a misser. We are all equally bad at compensating for inattentional blindness. That's right, a special message to everyone, including myself, who wants to be a better ally for anyone who is weak in the way we are strong. Inattentional blindness keeps us from seeing the diversity that has always been in front of us. These people didn't pop into existence the moment we noticed them. You don't need me to help you see the point. If we want to be allies, we need to listen to the people being affected in the ways that escape our awareness. We need to show grace if they have to shout in order to get our attention when we are so unwittingly focused on perfectly reasonable things that unfortunately don't include them. There are more shades of human than there are future films in the MCU franchise. Trans people walk among us, asexual people walk among us, intersex people walk among us, and we do it just as clearly and obviously as a gorilla walking invisibly through a group of basketball players. In conclusion, if you deprick us, do we not bleed? If you misgender us, do we not cry? If you deprive us of HRT, do we not die?
And if you wrong us, shall we not make memes?
We don't expect you to notice us. The truth is, we need as much grace as you do. Whoever you are, whatever your minority, whatever your source of privilege or oppression, there are people who are invisible to you, too. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with us to lift the veil of invisibility over prejudice. Unfortunately, there's no magic bullet to see it. Good intentions will only take us so far. But we can at least take the first step to acknowledging the invisible gorilla in the room.